Now, I really don't want to make your time here a lot longer, but I confess I have a lot going on in my mind right now, and I had a lot of things that I was thinking about saying, and Lord, so I just ask that you would help me to be brief and help me to get exactly out what you've been speaking to me, Lord. Please encourage everyone here and speak to them about your love for them, Lord, for all of us. Wow, there's just been, I just want to say, I really think God's speaking to us here today. I think there have been some, I did not plan on speaking. I did not come here thinking I would say anything. I thought I would just enjoy the ride. And here I am being part of the, part of it. So, the things that I want to say actually really connect with what Craig said. I heard there's so much going on in my mind that it's just connected with what Craig said and what Mr. Gaines said. So I'm going to try. I ask you to please remind yourselves of what they said as I'm speaking, because I really think there's so much connection, and I'm going to try to bring that out in what I say. Let me first start by saying, please forgive me, especially you, Dad, for my pride and any arrogance I have demonstrated to you all. I want to, I'm that kind of person. I can be very condemning, especially of myself and of. And I really think what my mom said to me recently, she said, you know, that's the way you view yourself. That's why you look at other people that way. And so I just want to ask you all to please forgive me if you've seen that come out. And if there's anything you have against me, please come to me and speak to me. I really just want to be honest with you guys. There are two things that I wanted to say, two main things. One of what I have to say is a testimony. I've been thinking I wanted to give this testimony today, so I'll do it right now. Many of you know, I think all of you possibly, if you don't, you're going to know now, I got a new job. I'm a teacher now. I'm making considerably more than I have ever in the past, and with no degree. With a bachelor's degree, but with no master's degree. As you may know, I work with Central American refugee children, and I have been taking care of them for the longest time. And now, after a year of having volunteered at at Good Shepherd School, Good Shepherd Christian School in Kingston, I'm finally in the place where I feel like I'm really enjoying my work. Before this, I enjoyed my work immensely, but after I love teaching, and I think God has given me a special gift for teaching things that I know, or I guess then teaching in general. And so I just ask you to bear with me. I know I'm being very long, and I want to be brief. I want to be concise. But so God gave me this beautiful job at a time where I was looking at myself and saying, my life, I'm not going anywhere. I've been doing the same thing for a long time. My sisters are getting married. Two of my sisters are getting married. My one other sister is going to college. She's going. She knows what she wants to do. She's going to pursue her master's degree. Here I am. I don't know what I want to do. There's so many things, so many possibilities, and yet I don't have a goal. And I've been through a lot in the past year or two, and. At one time, I was considering this job that I have now. I applied for it. I was offered the job, the position. I rejected it. based on improper thinking. And now finally God gives me this opportunity. And it just, it's it. My point is, it was the perfect timing. God gave me the perfect gift. He really does give good gifts to his children. He really, I think it was a miraculous thing, like Craig's saying. Just things seem to work out. So thank you, Lord. And all right, part two is what I believe God has been speaking to me in today, coming here today, and for a long time. So coming, I said before during the service that God wants us, basically God wants us to draw near to him, and he's always near to us, but also we need to be near to him. And that was the one thing that God was really speaking to me ever, you know, for a long time now. And it was accented at the prayer meeting this week, and again came to mind this morning. But I want to read one scripture that it really changed my life, really pivotal in this, I don't know, last year, my last 6 months, I guess. It's in Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 35. Actually, I'm going to take out my cell phone and read it from the RSV. Because originally I read this in the RSV and it struck me. It says in Luke 6, verse 35, "But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return." Interesting how that fits in with what Craig said. I just find that really amazing. "And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the selfish." And I thought about asking you all this question. Who here has been ungrateful? Who here has been selfish? And it just struck me. The Lord loves everyone. He loves the ungrateful and the selfish. And I looked at myself and I see myself as, you know, a lot of times I spite myself. I look at myself as a worthless person. And I'm not worthless, but I am sinful. And when I read this scripture, I know I've commented this before in services, but I really thought, I said, what is God speaking to me in this service? What is it that he's putting on my heart? And it really is this verse that has been so, just changed everything for me. You know, for the longest time I knew, I've been here for 27 years, going on 28 in September, that God loves me. But I don't think I've understood it. And I regret to say I have not understood his love for me. And so I want you all to benefit from this word that God spoke to me, that he is merciful. Merciful to the ungrateful. And that is the way he views every single one of us, and especially those who are not saved. And there's just so much I could say right now. So many connections with what Craig and Mr. Gaines said. Um, So I guess maybe I can try to describe to you what changed in my thinking. You know, I viewed myself with spite, as I said, and that has caused me to view others also in the same way, and that's sort of why I started this, by asking forgiveness. I can be very spiteful, especially to those who are closest to me, and to my family, please, Ruthanna, Natanya, Ilana, Dad, Mom, please forgive me. Please forgive me in the way that has affected you. For how that has affected you. The other thing I thought, I was so very touched by what Mrs. Gaines said during the meeting, because it was exactly what was on my mind. I wanted to get up and say something at that point, but I thought, no, I'll just give my testimony later. I don't know if maybe I don't know if I should say anything. But then she came up and gave this testimony of what God had done in her life, and recently how, you know, especially the part where she said that, where it read, the statement was, "For all time, you have been forgiven this for all time." And I see that as the way God views us who believe. And when she got up and spoke that, I was thinking, I was just so impacted by one song, Natanya. I'm going to ask you to get me the lyrics to that song, if you could. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Right when we were singing that song, what really spoke to me was one part I'm going to read you, but was the blood of Yeshua. And this is something that Craig brought out. You know, we don't have to talk about the blood of Yeshua in every message that is given every Saturday. I mean, it would be great. But we don't always, and I just want to note the, you know, God is amazing. You come here on Saturday, and you know God's going to speak to you, of course, speak to you through His Word. God is always speaking through His Word. But the way He sort of puts things on different people's hearts that speaks to individuals, I just really want to note that God, this is miraculous. This is what we're doing here. God using people, putting things on their hearts to speak to others, to encourage them, and to encourage their faith, to build them up. That is from God. That's not from people. This is not something I could do on my own, in my own strength. And if I could, in my own strength, it would not speak to your hearts. So I just really want to bring this out, that it says, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me, and I will stand and sing. I am a child of God. And the part that really spoke to me was, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. What that's referring to is where the Israelites went through the Red Sea and were delivered from Egypt. Egypt is a symbol of sin, a bondage, being in bondage to sin, and the idea is that they were literally delivered by God from an actual place in Egypt, and God literally split the sea so they could walk right through it. But what God did for us in His Son Yeshua, I see it here. This is what I just saw. The blood of Yeshua. The blood of Yeshua. And I hear the echo of those words that Mrs. Gaines spoke for all time. Yeshua's blood split the sea so we could walk right through it. Right from our sinful state to the Father and the Son at the right hand of God. And there's just, what that means is there's nothing that can stop us from getting there. That's what that means. He's near, but we have to walk toward him. And I might as well comment now. This is another thing on my mind. Mr. Gain sort of made me think about this a little more. How lately I've been thinking, I don't know when it was. And this is the other connection. This is a miraculous connection to me. I don't know if you guys see it, but I just see all these connections is so miraculous that I was thinking very recently. Oh, now I hope I haven't lost it. Thank you. I wrote it down. Comment on my old ideas about control. I've thought for the longest time that I'm not in control. Not really. And while I am actually not in control, God has given me a free will to decide what I do with my life, when I do it, where I do it. He has given me a free will to think the things I want, to focus on the things I want. And when this word going around in our family, perseverate, comes up, it really makes you think you do have a choice about what you focus on. You are in control of what you decide to do with the things that happen to you and the thoughts that occur to you. And so formerly I thought, well, I have all these thoughts, I have all these emotions, I can't seem to control them. Sure, I can't control them, but I do have a choice to do something about the emotions and the thoughts that do occur to me, that do happen to me. And God has been showing me that I need to surrender my anxieties to him. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard my heart and my mind. But I have to do that first. And so I've been practicing that. I tell you, I've been practicing that. And I'll just say it right now. I've been seeing a therapist. Not a therapist, but several. And I told this to my therapist last week, my newest therapist, who, for reasons I won't explain, I got a new therapist. And I told him this, and I said, man, I've just been experiencing so much more peace because of just every time I have anxieties and fears, saying, Lord, I surrender these to you. I surrender these thoughts to you. And this is not something I can, this is not my, something I could normally do in my own strength before. I've never done this. Never done this. I've never understood the scripture that says, take your thoughts captive to the Lord. But I see now, after coming from a conference in Maryland, a Messianic Jewish conference that we all went to, the last one, God spoke to me in worship, and he said, surrender your thoughts and worship me. And so I've been doing that, and I've been, thank you, Lord, I've been practicing that. And so that's another little testimony. But I used to think that I wasn't in control. And again, I will tell you, I'm not in control. I'm not in complete control. But I do have a choice. And, Craig, I think Craig, you mentioned about the apparently the Torah portion for today. Hmm. Interestingly, is about deciding what you're going to do, picking cursing or blessing. Mr. Gaines said that? Okay. Just another little connection. Again, a miraculous connection. I see it as miraculous. Not something we invented. This is not something we're performing here. I'm not performing. I would not be up here if it were up to me. But I really felt that God, that I could be spontaneous today, and that God was speaking to my heart, and that since there was a lack in speakers, that I could just come up here and say these things that he's been giving me and putting on my heart. So we're getting near time to end. I just want to say, you know, whatever is left to say, and I'll leave that with you. Control. So yes, maybe I'll just end that. You know, formerly I thought I did not have control, but I'm finding I do, and I do according to what it says in Scripture. I want to be clear about that. I do have control according to what it says in Scripture. And I have the free will, and I've been finding I have the free will, the freedom to choose now the good things that God wants me to do. And I've been doing it, I don't know what has changed in me. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's everything right with me. Hallelujah. But it's been God who did something. I don't know. Mr. Lundgren said in the last prayer meeting, he said, Judah's a new man. And I said, hallelujah. Because I don't know. I just see that as true. He's been doing something in me. And I don't know what it is. But it is amazing to me. I was going to read a whole passage of, I don't even know what it was now. But I think I'll leave that. There are just some other scriptures that I have occurred to me as I was writing down what I should say. One of them is from Psalm 34:18. It says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And this is another connection, so I might as well... Might as well turn there, and then I have another upcoming verse from James 4:6. Keep that in mind. Okay, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And then I might as well read this too. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. And that reminds me of another scripture that says, the righteous will fall seven times. But he will rise again. And another psalm that says, another proverb, psalm or proverb, can't remember which, that says, let's see if I can get it now. He will not allow the righteous to fall headlong, basically. They will fall, but they will not fall as to fall headlong. James 4:6. Now, where is James? All right, this is the passage I wanted to read completely because I thought it might be a good idea. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses. Now I wanted you to hear this with the first scripture I read to you in mind. He is merciful to the selfish and the ungrateful. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? In parentheses, that he jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Wow, I'm just seeing so many connections here. You do have a choice. Submit to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Yeah, I think that's good enough. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So I just wanted to elaborate on one thing, one more thing, that Mrs. Gaines said, or Mr. Gaines said, about what Mrs. Gaines said. It occurred to me while he was speaking that God has made, the blood of Yeshua has made the accusations against us irrelevant. So in what happened, I saw, you know, the accusation wasn't even like a legitimate accusation in the first place. There was no ambulance. It had to do with a motorcycle. But I see a connection between the way what Satan tries to do and what was done in that situation, which was that he says, okay, these are all the lists of accusations that you have against you, Judah. This is what you've done. And God says, yeah, but that's irrelevant. Look what I've done. I wish I could make it very clear what I have in mind. It's not coming out the way I'd like, but I guess for the longest time I've lived under this way of viewing myself with spite, with condemnation, with not understanding. Reading all the time, but not understanding the scripture that says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. It's just so very clear to me reading that scripture that says God is merciful to the selfish and the ungrateful, that all that those lists of accusations I have against myself, the condemnation I have for myself, sort of just is irrelevant. Doesn't matter if I've... I mean, it does matter what I've done. What I've done does matter, but in the end, God loves me. And God, he's not looking at me like I look at myself. He's not saying, you didn't make your bed right. You didn't make your bed this morning. You were nasty to your mom. You were nasty to your dad. Sure, he is there the law is there to convict sin. Yeah, we all understand that sin is sin, and doing all those things is bad. And that's God's law. It's not our law, that's God's law. But Scripture says, Romans says, that God did, I believe it says, what we could not do. By sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God did what the law could not do. That's what it says. God did what the law could not do. The law convicts. But God says that's irrelevant. And he loves us that much. Really, it's a big focus on the blood of Yeshua. And the blood is for all time. I believe there's a scripture that says that. And the end of things, as it says somewhere in Ecclesiastes, probably in the 12th chapter, 11th or 12th chapter, it says, the end of things is this. God has forgiven those through the blood of Yeshua for all times, for those who come to him, for those who draw near to him. And I think actually that is what God is speaking to us. I believe that now. Just in being able to say that, to finish this with that, that's what God is saying. For all times, for those who draw near to him. He is, what does it say here? Back in James 4:6, let's see. I'll go right back to James 4:6 because I want to end with that. And here's another connection. There's a long pause of silence. And just come, you know. That's not exactly miraculous. Okay. Does anybody have it out? I cannot seem to find it. I don't know why, but my brain is not working. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Am I too far? Here we go. Hebrews and then James. Okay, James. 4:6. Okay, I have it. Sorry to make you look. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.